is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have updates from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. It took until November 20th, but it is beginning to look a lot like winter across the region this morning. A combination of wind and snow seen across the eastern two-thirds of North Dakota, eastern South Dakota, and parts of Minnesota. Temps in the teens and 20s are being seen at this hour. The coldest spot, Eldred, in Minnesota's Polk County. They're at 15 degrees. Additional snow is expected through the morning hours.
In a closed-door meeting, House Republicans have agreed to pursue a one-year farm bill extension. At the same meeting, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson rejected Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow's farm bill text. Senate Agriculture Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman made a similar comment, saying Congress is running out of time to approve a farm bill.
The Midwest Council on Agriculture is on Capitol Hill this week, stressing the importance of a number of ag issues. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has the story.
There are a number of priorities for Congress to accomplish across all departments during the lame duck session. There's no shortage of agricultural needs as well. James Callen Associates President Jim Callen is hoping the Midwest Council's presence will help create a sense of urgency for ag leaders.
I think the timing is about as good as it gets for us to be here. Of course, you know, it's almost the last gasp in a way. We only have so much time to go. But, you know, given that there's not likely going to be a farm bill, we certainly hope there would be, that we're, you know, focusing on the ag economic and disaster assistance play right now. And communicating that, there has been a significant amount of discussion, I think, in the Congress about it.
Callen is hopeful for some sort of bill to help farmers get through tough years.
I don't know if there's really anything that's come out with exact language. There's a couple of bills that are out there, but in terms of what the final version will look like, we don't know yet. But we would like to see something that emphasizes federal crop insurance, that has some kind of a plus-up with premium support and increase in coverage at no additional cost. So we're looking at something along those lines. The crop insurance program is proven. It's the top priority for U.S. producers. It works. The data is there. So this way, USDA wouldn't have to create a whole separate program.
Callen says guidance or an extension is an important topic for biofuels.
Well, you know, the 40B blender's tax credit will expire at the end of the year. And the Clean Fuel Production Credit 45Z to replace it will not be ready because of delays in the Treasury guidance. So we support a simple extension to the existing blender tax credit. That's going to provide, you know, some measure of certainty. We want to be able to scale up production of biofuels to meet some of the need that's really going to be out there for increased use of biofuels as we get into a environment where there's going to be more emphasis on that.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Brazilian President Lula and Chinese President Xi will meet later today to announce plans to strengthen trade relations. China is already Brazil's largest trading partner, but the focus of this announcement is on value-added products, including beef and pork. The two leaders are part of the G20 summit, which is underway at Rio de Janeiro.
The grain markets are stuck in a sideways trading pattern. Abbott Futures market analyst Preston Zacharias is not sure what will break that pattern.
Well, I don't know what shakes this market loose. We seem to have some pretty good weather for the South Americans growing those crops. The Australian harvest is about 30% done. Now they're facing some rain, but not enough to move the needle. So I don't see what shakes us loose out of this funk that we're in. So. I would expect that we have some sideways motion for the foreseeable future.
Zacharias does not expect any help from USDA.
Even the USDA WASDE that comes out in December is usually a null and void report as well. So the next thing that we have on the table as far as fundamental news going on the eggs is the January report. So we're kind of in this holding pattern as far as I can tell.
Preston Zacharias from Abbott Futures. A reminder, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farm Bureau meetings all going on this weekend. We'll have coverage in both Minnesota and in Bismarck. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. RCM Ag Services analyst Steve Wagner expects a choppy sideways trade through Thanksgiving.
That's kind of where I'm at, is at least through Thanksgiving, you know, the week after Thanksgiving. And then once we get into December, I think, you know, things will start to shift. We'll be a little bit closer to the South American crop. Our season will have come to an end with most of the rivers closing down. So, yeah, I do think short term there's a reason to be excited, but I think it's capped. It's limited.
University of Minnesota researchers, in collaboration with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, have examined the levels of neonicotinoid pesticides in groundwater across Minnesota. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
According to University of Minnesota professor of civil, environmental, and geoengineering Bill Arnold, neonicotinoid detection levels were highest in surface water and the closer to agricultural lands the samples were from.
So the main places we see the neonicotinoids in groundwater were in kind of the karst region in the southeastern part of the state, and also in Hennepin and Ramsey County, where the major two spots, where the levels, the detection frequency, that we saw the most often and at the highest levels. And it was in shallow groundwater or in springs where we'd see the most detections. And then in deep groundwater, we would see lower levels, if any. And one of the things we found was that the closer you were to agricultural land, the higher the odds are of either detecting a compound or the higher the concentrations were.
Arnold says the research and testing doesn't stop here, but will continue as researchers focus on detection and prevention going forward.
And so one thing is that various groups that monitor water quality have reached out to us for our methods to add the neonicotinoids and their degradation products into their protocols and into their plans going forward. And then for us, we're interested in ways that we might prevent them from getting into the shallow groundwater. And so with Andy Erickson at the St. Anthony Falls Laboratory, we have a project looking at different mixtures for stormwater infiltration treatment. So if stormwater, rather than shuttling it off into the surface water, one methodology is to push it into the groundwater to prevent flooding and things like that. But, and also improve the water quality, because you can remove nutrients by doing stormwater biofiltration. And so we're looking to see whether some of these technologies could also remove insecticides and other pesticides.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Summit Carbon Solutions has resubmitted its pipeline permit application to the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. The PUC rejected the initial application more than a year ago. North Dakota and Iowa have already approved their permits, and a decision is pending in Minnesota. The Summit Pipeline would capture carbon dioxide from Midwest ethanol plants and deliver it to western North Dakota for sequestration.
Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada made only small changes in its supply-demand estimates. That includes a small drop in the all-wheat and durum ending stocks. Canadian corn, soybean, and canola ending stocks were left unchanged.
For nearly two decades, Farm Rescue has been helping farmers and ranchers when disaster strikes. Development Officer Terry Johnston says the first 19 years have been great, but they're already looking ahead to the next 19.
We have served about 1,200 families in our 19-year history, and next year is our 20th anniversary. So we're very excited about that, and we want to serve another 1,200 families in probably a shorter period of time than 19 years. So we're going to be really focusing on fundraising and partnerships and awareness in 2025, just to make sure that we can help more people and we can also have the money to do so.
The hope is to continue expanding beyond the 9 states they currently support.
As we can develop the resources, both in the financial partnerships and volunteers, we would love to just keep growing, cover the whole Midwest someday even.
The American Farm Bureau Federation, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and National Pork Producers Council have filed a friend of the court brief in legal action against the EPA. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce filed the original lawsuit, claiming the agency's rule on PFAS, or forever chemicals, should be vacated. The farm groups contend agriculture was not responsible for these chemicals and shouldn't be liable for cleanup costs. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. With a majority of soybeans grown in the Dakotas being exported, Claremont, South Dakota farmer and United States Soy Export Council Board Director Mike McCraney says that is in large part due to increased soy meal exports.
Over 7 rows out of every 10 rows that I grow in South Dakota are exported. Probably the biggest elephant in the room is China. They take over half of those. So those are markets that we have to try to keep. But we are also really concentrating heavily in those areas like Southeast Asia, where our markets, we seem to have a freight advantage like out of the Pacific Northwest. And so consequently, the big thing that is something to stress is the meal exports have increased in that part of the world. We have big increases in like 3 major countries like the Philippines and Vietnam and Indonesia, all markets that we're really doing a lot of work in.
McCraney thinks increased crush capacity will lead to even more soy meal and soy oil exports.
Well, in the U.S., the expansion of livestock is difficult to do with all the regulations. And so it seems like we have to find a home for the meal that's going to be produced when the oil market is one of those things that's kind of taking over. So those markets are going to have to be somewhere in the world.
Despite weak commodity prices, farmland remains a popular investment. According to Farmers National Company Senior Vice President Matt Gunderson, farmland values are determined by location.
It really depends upon the piece of ground. So it's going to depend upon the productivity of that ground, where it's sitting at. And it's also going to be is what has come up or not come up for sale in that particular area in a while. And the third component of it is it just takes 2 determined bidders.
For the most part, cash rents are holding steady. Cash rents the most common, but there is an increased interest in bonus flex provision rents.
We like it because it keeps that rent negotiation very objective. So if it's a really great year, yield and or price for that operator, and they do well, then they're sharing a little bit within the landowner, but then we can keep that contained to that crop year, and then we can have a discussion for next year about what that looks like in the economics around next year, rather than trying to go back and forth. And so we've seen some higher adoptions in those bonus flex provisions.
Checking markets, we're in the red this morning. The Minneapolis wheat, the D's contract down 3.5 cents, 583.25. The Chicago wheat, December down 4.25, and hard red winter wheat, same contract down 3.25. In the corn market, new crop 425.5, 1.75 cents down, March down 2 cents. January soybeans 989.25, down 9.25. The March contract is down by 8.5 cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, the Minnesota State Cattlemen Association and the Minnesota Board of Animal Health has a beef cattle RFID webinar coming up on Tuesday of next week, 1 to 2 o'clock. Of course, we've seen that the new requirements for the electronic ID took effect on November 5th. This will talk about what happens with interstate movement, intrastate movement. There's plenty of time for Q&A as well. That's next Tuesday, the 26th, that webinar. You can contact the Minnesota State Cattlemen Association or the Minnesota Board of Animal Health for all the details. Have yourself a great day. Do stay safe. This is the Red River Farm Network.